T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, Chris Kerber is going to be with us in studio this hour. Got a ton to get to with Kerbs. Talk a little Eclipse with Kerbs. He was out at the Pujols tournament as well. Want to ask him about umpires and officials. He was tweeting about that this weekend. And also, what's going on over at Scott Trade Center, as we're hoping everything's smooth sailing. So that's coming up. It's the 7 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line. Kerbs joins me next in studio.
Why do I skate? Why does the King Panther hunt the gazelle? To live.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line continues on KMOX.
Chris Kerber joins us in studio. A lot going on. You were out at the Pujols Foundation golf tournament. That's where you eclipsed earlier today. You're a big space guy.
I am.
A big, I don't know.
That's a very nice way of avoiding guy. I don't know, calling me a space cadet, so that was good.
Or a nerd.
I am one of those, but I'm a nerd with a cool job.
It's very true. Here's like the thing that I've been talking about throughout the night, and my mom has been so into the eclipse, and for like a month now has been sending me stuff, and she knew all about where you should watch it in St. Louis, and I was like, all right, whatever. I think I remember eclipses in the past, but none like this over us where we are. And when I went out and someone on the street gave me a pair of glasses and I looked at it and I was surrounded by a group of people when it happened, it blew me away. It was so cool. The coolest thing I thought was literally it turning dark, seeing how some of the animals responded, seeing streetlights go on, hearing cicadas, feeling the drop in temperature. It was cool. What was it like out on the golf course?
It was awesome the way that the tournament did it. They had glasses in all the carts, and then at like 12:45, whatever hole you finished on, they had kind of these eclipse hubs around where you drove to there. And then you just kind of watched, you know, the event from that aspect of it. And we got very lucky because to the north, you could actually see a thunderhead with lightning and stuff like that. And to the south, you could see some of the clouds coming in. But there was just this clean swipe, like a fairway, if you will, right down the middle. And it was pretty awesome, you know, to have the glasses on. And then when, you know, when it's totally eclipsed, to take them off. You know, and look, I mean, we've seen it. Remember, I mean, you remember growing up in school and you did the old reflection through a pinhole kind of stuff. And, you know, that stuff was pretty neat. But it's when you really, you know, and I don't, as much a kind of a space geek and nerd I am and enjoy those topics and studying and learning it, what puts this into perspective is there are a couple times a year you can go find a total solar eclipse if you really wanted to around the world. It's just the fact that at least with where we were and with the way it was in the United States, the way it cut across the entire United States like it had did for that is really the cool part. And the fact that it hadn't had that path in 400 years is what puts that into a certain amount of perspective for you. So it was neat. I thought the golf tournament handled it really well. I thought the tournament players, everybody that was out there handled it. It was really a neat moment, I think.
I think the thing that really, for me, like, got me kind of, I don't know, just excited when it was happening, and you almost get chills, is just seeing all the people. Everywhere I went, and I walked around my neighborhood in Soulard, I walked down by the brewery in Benton Park today, just walked around. Everybody was out, and everyone was either at a bar or a restaurant or hanging out on their front porch or in a park, and, like, some people in this park were, like, it seemed like on the verge of tears, like, emotional. Like, it was,
well,
it was like
about
a big
moment,
man.
First off, okay, I'll go in a couple angles for you here.
And I was laughing at people who were that fired up about it.
We know that the moon and the relationship of the moon to the earth and the sun and everything combined impacts stuff, living stuff around us, okay? It impacts the tide. That's how you get high tide, low tide, you know, that kind of thing. So animals react to the different things.
Cicadas was creepy.
The cicadas
when they,
coming
started,
out and the crickets.
It's like someone turned a switch on.
Bingo. All right, so there's a nature aspect to what it is. To think that it wouldn't affect humans in some way, whether we have the instincts enough or not to realize it, would be crazy. Now, to the level that some people go, you go, okay, this is a little nuts, but you know, conspiracy, what the heck, if they have a, you know, chance to blame it on the moon, yeah, cutting past the sun, good for the bully for them, but you know, but yeah, they're
hung
has to
over
be
and
something.
Can't go to work because of the eclipse.
Yep. Well, okay, caused people to do weird things. Well, that may not be all that weird of a thing. But.
What was it? Yeah, for you every day, it's like you're dragging in bleary eyes.
Watch it. What that was it, is not accurate nor nice.
What was it like in Russia? How long was the daylight in Russia when you were there over the summer with your daughter Emily for the football for friendship?
You know, that was a, now that's different, okay? So I've been in Alaska.
I just mean in terms of being out of your comfort zone and it messing up your rhythm,
what that does, and if you've been to Alaska, whether it's, you know, where it's almost dusk 24 hours.
You've got to stick your head in a light box.
Yeah. What it is, one, we had the 8-hour time zone change, so they're 8 hours ahead. So that's a little harder to adjust to than just a day or two. But what it feels like is you lose track of time, you know. So literally, the way it is here between 8 and 9 o'clock tonight right now, it never got. I mean, that was 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. Like, it didn't get dark until close to 2:15.
And how do you go to sleep?
Well, like, the shades in the hotel were
right,
fantastic.
But it throws off your rhythm. You're like, it's light outside. It doesn't feel like.
But when that's why when you get into your room, you close the shades, and that part's fine. If you leave it open, you could see it. It does.
Yeah, I just mean if you're leaving dinner, if it's 9 o'clock, and normally it would be dark, and you'd be like, all right, we're gonna go home, unwind, get ready for bed. You're leaving,
well,
and it's bright outside.
I'll give
it's
you
weird.
An example, like, you know, about the way it is, about 6:45 in the morning right now around here. That was 3 a.m. Okay, and maybe it got dark for 45 minutes prior to that. I mean, so it does. It messes with your clock a little bit.
That is weird. But, yeah, it was cool today. I thought it was great. I didn't think that would be as cool, but I think I'm just kind of walking around. Someone on the street, I'm walking around just wearing sunglasses, and I hadn't looked up at it because if you look up at it, it just looked like the sun for a while,
right,
even with the crescent. So this nice lady was like, hey, we've got some extra glasses. Do you want a pair? So I procured a pair of glasses, and it was cool.
Different experience when you do that, didn't
it?
Oh,
I'm like, oh, my God, it's orange. I wasn't seeing that.
Chris, it's a different experience when you do what everybody for the last 2 months was telling you to do.
I know.
Get a pair of glasses and watch it safely.
My mother telling me every day. She was like finding where I could get glasses in St. Louis. All right, that's Chris Kerber. He's hanging in studio on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Let's take a break and come back. Kerbs getting fired up on Twitter. We'll talk about that next.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, Chris Kerber is here. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. We'll get it back to some baseball in the 8 o'clock hour. After we carry the address by the president, 9 o'clock hour, a little bit of football. We're going to talk some hockey in the next segment, but I want to start a little bit off the beaten path. And something that you tweeted about, something that I have talked to people about, and it is officials. And we talked about it a lot last week with the Cardinals because of the odd situation in Boston with the home plate umpire who had been getting it from both teams all night because of a horrible strike zone. Called time because he needed a break. That, you know, who knows what happens if he doesn't call
and
time.
And apparently, and I've got this, you can count this as good here, okay? Apparently, he didn't want to admit that he needed to take a break until he got a little flustered. Then he finally goes, look, I needed a break. wrong thing to say to a manager and the players. Eye. Yeah.
You should. It sounds like you might have played golf with someone who was familiar with the situation. So that happens. Ian Kinsler, one of many guys who's called out an umpire. You said Angel Hernandez needs to get another job because he's ruining games. The umpires say they're going to wear white armbands over the weekend that lasted 24 hours. Like, it has gotten to the point where it's unfortunate we're talking about these guys.
It sounds to me like these umpires and referees that are along these lines, these are the ones that are hoping to ban dodgeball because it's too rough. You know, like
And it's a factual statement. Angel Hernandez, you can look at metrics, you can watch a game, you can look at that call, not a great umpire.
So here's the challenge that Major League Baseball has, all right? They can't fire him.
Why not?
The umpires union has got it so good and so tight with them that you just cannot fire a guy. Now here's the flip side. In the NHL, has moved some older guys out, okay? Whether they should have been or should not have been, that's a different debate. But they moved some older guys out. They bring in some younger guys. And the quality of the officiating in the National Hockey League the last 2 years is probably as bad as I have ever seen it. You know, and in some ways, ranking as bad as what you saw at the minor league level from time to time. But that is what happens. It will get better when these younger, when a good number of younger refs get more experience. When you can't take a guy who is constantly in the middle of, because let's say there are repeat offenders. Well, let's say Angel Hernandez is actually an okay umpire. All right, but his temperament is not good for that position. That's part of the position, too.
I cannot stand it when, and it's part of the game, right? Like, if there's a third strike call, for instance, the player doesn't like it, let him have his piece. He's walking away. He's walking towards the dugout. Let him mumble. Let him yell something. It's the guys like Angel who take their mask off, start following the player, and try to continue engaging them. That's showing a player up. And outside of that, it's just some guys that aren't very good. And I will say this. I think that replay in baseball has shown that these guys are very good.
Right.
And that I would say if you take all of the plays, let's say the bang-bang plays at first base over the course of a season, and you look at how many were reviewed and how many were overturned, I bet these guys get 99.9% of them right, which is amazing.
But it is also completely exposed an erratic strike zone.
It has. The strike zone is a problem, and part of that is your eyes, right? And I think Major League Baseball at some point needs to recruit guys that are the age of the players, whether it's former minor league players or college players or whatever. Why is it so crazy that you should have a guy that's the age of the players watching 98-mile-an-hour fastballs come in? You got to be able to pay them better so that the good ones get rewarded, so that there's more incentive to make this your only job. And you just need to develop. It's like a team with a farm system. You just need to develop more players, more umpires.
You need to get refs and umpires that have thick skin. Like, it is what has happened.
Sure, but thick skin's one thing, but you also need to be good enough and physically capable of calling a game.
I think you better start with the thick skin, because if you're not good enough and they're going to hire you, then you're going to need the thicker skin, because you're going to catch a lot of grief. Look, one of the things that has really irritated me is when calls are getting made, whether it's baseball, hockey, whatever sport may be, and they're impacting the game in a way, like that umpire in Boston impacted the game, right? I mean,
because who knows what happens if he throws that
right.
pitch.
Mm. Now, look, here's the thing. So you see the incident that happens with Matheny and the umpire in Boston and Yachty, all right? Okay. There's probably no fines to get handed out on that front, okay, because they know the umpire was bad. Now, on the flip side, you see Ian Kinsler going on the record saying this guy's bad. Okay, yep, he did.
Because again, a wrong call ended a game.
Right, but he said this guy's ruining games. Okay, so Major League Baseball decides to fine him. All right, you let it go, but then what umpire, what crew chief, what union leader thought, hey, here's a good idea. Let's all wear white wristbands in protest of the way we're being treated. You know what? You know what Major League Baseball should do? Do you know what every single Major League manager and Major League team should do tonight
through
the weekend?
Band?
Nope. They should, what they should do is they should go to McDonald's, buy a bunch of Happy Meals, get bibs, and then when they go out to trade the lineup cards, right, these guys should turn around and pretty much say, here's your Happy Meal with your chicken nuggets. Do you want some sauce with that? And give these guys bibs. And just in case somebody's not a McDonald's fan, if it's their birthday, go get them the King Crown, the Whopper stuff.
So they don't get their feelings hurt.
And then say, look, and if you need anything, after the game, what we have, what the Major League Baseball Players Association has arranged for you is psychologists and psychiatrists, just in case any of you need the drugs to get through it, to get after the game, and if any of you feel like you've been a little bit bruised up or you don't like the way somebody, you know, called you a boogerhead or whatever the heck they're going to call you, right, then we've got counseling for you as well. That was the biggest farce and joke, and every Major League umpire should be embarrassed by that, because you know what? All the good ones will tell you this. The good ones would have said.
And there are many good ones.
Right, and this is why this is why I tweeted what I tweeted this morning, because of that. It wasn't because Major League Baseball fined Ian Kinsler. Fine. We all know that happens in sports. You get that, right? Nobody was going to have an issue with that, and yet we were all going to say he was probably right about his comments, but we know you shouldn't say him. For the same reason you know you shouldn't say him. If Major League Baseball did what they did and fined him, right, then the Major League umpires have to do what umpires need to do, take the high road. You're not getting that badly abused.
Yeah.
And when you are, you're quick to throw people out anyway. That was such an embarrassing thing on them. It's not embarrassing baseball. That stunt they did, in my opinion, was embarrassing for any umpire or ref that tries to do a good job and call a game.
And you know what else? When Ian Kinsler strikes out to end a game and then has to talk to reporters 15 minutes after that, and he's asked about the umpire, he's responding to questions. We always want honesty, right? But the officials, aside from maybe a pool reporter going in and getting the statement, it could be game 7 of the World Series. You could miss a call down the line, and they don't have to sit at a microphone or a podium and answer questions about what did you see, why did you make that call, was it the wrong call?
Do you remember
We never had that accountability.
Listen, do you remember how bad game 4 was officiated between the Blues and the Predators?
Yeah.
Okay. You can make the case, all right? You can make the case
just so people, if they don't remember, that was the game where there was a skirmish where every player was involved, and the Blues somehow ended up getting an extra guy taken off.
Right, and
that led to the power play and the
goal.
But
here's what happens: the referee in that case says something to the coaches and the players. Okay, so when the general manager goes in or a media guy goes in, and they go, "Here's what the ref said," and you're going, "This makes absolutely no sense." But in that case, the facts were that the two linesmen told the referee. They told him, it's an evened up call.
And the
referee still, which was his prerogative, still did that. Now, what happens after the game is, in this case, the pool reporter, which I believe might have been Jeremy Rutherford. The pool reporter has the right to ask, okay,
to speak to the officials. Yeah.
Okay? They weren't going to give him the access. Now, in the end, they did, because some other stuff, okay? But whether it be a general manager that would light the guy up, right? And so, in this case, They didn't even get to talk to the referee. They got to talk to the league supervisor that wasn't even down on there.
Wasn't there.
So when that reporter or general manager gets a chance and hears from the coaches and the players where the screw up was, and you don't get a chance to hear from the referee, okay, these guys want to wear armbands protesting stuff, okay? Then go stand behind a microphone and answer the question.
I agree.
It's just that simple. If you want to sit there and do the baby, we're protesting because we're getting abused. We'll give you some tissue, right? You know, we'll give you a binky that you can have for, what, the seventh inning on? And then after that, right? Then after that, if you feel like it, then, you know, go home and get whatever you need done. But stand up and face the music like the managers. Like Mike Matheny had to answer questions about what went on.
Yep.
These guys don't. And look, there are plenty of good umpires. I'm not ripping, you know, I'm saying that this to me was just an absolutely embarrassing move by the umpires and a disgusting statement as a group for them to kind of take it that route when they are supposed to be better than that. And frankly, they could have handled it a lot better. So whoever decided that this was the way to handle it, That guy should be long gone and blackballed by Major League Baseball.
Oh, I love it. Curbs is fired up. He's here in studio. We're hanging out. Back in a moment in the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. Go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Back on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln at Ford Sports Open Line, Chris Raby on KMOX as we continue hanging out with Chris Kerber. All right, we'll get into some hockey on the ice in a moment, and I got to ask you, too, about the building, because I think a lot of people have questions about what is and isn't going on at Scott Trade and how it might affect things moving forward. I was wondering about this, though, and then we'll close the books on officials, and I'd love your opinion on this. There was some controversy last year. I believe it was it the Edmonton series against, or was Anaheim involved, where a team in, like, Game 6 or 7 had to use a coach's challenge on what looked to be an offside call, and then they didn't have a coach's challenge later in the game on a goal, or then there was a goalie interference and they had to use another one, and then they didn't have a coach's challenge for what ended up being a blatant offside later. Same thing. I think if you looked at every goal scored in the NHL and then you looked at the number that actually went to review,
right,
I think it's a very small number. Do you think we'll get to a point where in the league headquarters or in each building, like the NFL with the scoring play, they take probably usually 5 seconds. Okay, it's good. Usually 20 seconds. It's good. In a rare case, maybe as long as a challenge would take. And every goal is immediately looked over to see onside, offsides.
I believe that that is the way they should go.
In the NFL, we thought it would, we don't even notice it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, because 98% of touchdowns are, yep, good touchdown.
Look, the issue, and we've got broadcast meetings coming up just after the Labor Day holiday in New York, and we'll get a chance to get with the officiating department with the National Hockey
League. Let them have it, Curbs.
No. But no, I want to ask, this is the question I want to ask and get their perspective. While I think I know the answer that would come back from this, I guess I want to give them a chance to maybe surprise me on this. But when the general managers got back together and there was an opportunity for them to change the rule, and the specific one would have been goalie interference, they had an opportunity to vote as a group to vote for the goaltender interference to be uniformly decided by the group in Toronto. Okay, so what happens now is if it's goalie interference, the referees go over, they look at the replay, they make the call. If it's offside, the linesmen go over, they look at the replay, mm-hmm. they make the call. Right? They're trying to keep it in the hands of the guys on there. I think there's a certain honor in that, but I also think that it's just a major flaw.
It's an inconsistency.
It's a complete inconsistency. Now, in Major League Baseball, every umpire actually goes and spends a week in New York and kind of rotates through the process. That's a heck of an education for them to, and it works. So I'd like to see the NHL
All the reviews are centralized in New York.
Right. But
inconsistency. Blocking the plate is like goalie interference because I'm not sure everyone interprets the rule the same way.
Well, that's where this is going. This is the question I want to ask. Why have they not taken the time to rewrite the rules for replay? And you've heard me say this before. Goaltender, take offside, for example. Go to two playoffs ago when Yori Lehterä gets called. Might have been in that Chicago series. A goal is lost because of, the team he was whistled offside.
Now, game five that the Blues lost.
It is clearly obvious that he is onside in terms of half his leg and body is on the right side of the blue line. But because the skate was off the ice, so the only part of his body touching the ice was inside the zone, therefore it's offside. Well, when you read the rule, it doesn't spell that out. The rule could be interpreted either way in this case. What the league tells you is that, well, that's the spirit of the rule. And that's when I say, okay, time out. I understand that. But you cannot officiate with spirit of rules in a replay era.
Yep.
You have got to spell it out, and you've got to define it to for frame-by-frame replay.
So that you can then get it right every time.
So there's much more consistency to it. But then, look, you could talk to Brian Elliott, to Jake Allen, to Carter Hutton. You talk to Pecorine. I mean, you talk to all these goalies around the league. You try to get them to tell you how goaltender interference is called, and the goalies don't know. You talk to coaches. Coaches go, I have no idea. Now, these are guys that are playing the game and coaching the game, and then you're expecting the referees to do it, and that is why there is so much inconsistency when it comes to goalie interference. If you centralize the process, at least if it's four or five guys on a regular basis making that call, then you will start to see some level of consistency because even their interpretation will fit within a range, a certain barometer that you can follow. And until they do that, there's going to be controversy sticking to replay all the time.
What's going on with the building? And I don't know, you know, what you can say, or I know that it's a fluid process, and we got the statement from the Blues last week. But as we stand here right now on August 21st, and what I believe that Ed Sheeran concert that was going to be the first event was what, like September 17th? Yeah. So we're inside a month from that event, and then a month plus away from
and the Blues are going to have kind of an open house thing, which will be announced coming here soon that fans can get excited about on the 19th as well.
So where are we at right now? And we can plug that again in a minute, but like where are we at right now? How is it affecting things moving forward?
I cannot speak to the legal issues going on. One, because I don't know. Two, I'm not versed enough to be able to do it, and I don't want to put words in mouth in anyone's mouth and get something wrong.
Has everything stopped over there?
No. Now, this is the flip side. They are still making progress. Things will still be done. And what is expected to be done should still be done on time and ready to go. So, like, right now, the new video board, I believe, goes in, you know, starts to be built this week. It's about a three-week process. You know, like 2 weeks ago, they got the floor poured. And, Chris, the engineering to pour this floor, from what I was told, like, it had to be from one end to the other within 1/16th of an inch. Now, imagine, and you've got the league.
And they're pouring Olympic size, too, right?
Not just NHL. So they could do that because they had to replace the ice plant, right? Because, again, there's other events you can do. There's skating
figure skating events,
you know, that come in because of that.
It has to be so precise, though.
It does. And that pour has to be precise, you know, where I guess the company that did it said that it may be the flattest pour they've ever done. Like, it was really – you talked to Alex Rodrigo on the building side, you know, our group vice president who's doing a great job overseeing all this. And the engineering that went into that is, you could imagine the stress of that. But so.
Well, because when I was over there with him, it was the day that they started jackhammering the floor up to prepare for that.
Right. And so in speaking to the issues that everyone is hearing about.
But there's still stuff going on right now. It hasn't, stopped, and people shouldn't be worried, like, there might not be a Jumbotron next month.
The video board is going to be fantastic. It's going to go almost blue line to blue line, and it's a cube, so you'll get the same size.
It's like Dallas, right?
American Airlines Center.
Well, that's what I meant, where the Mavs and Stars play.
Yeah,
similar to that.
It's a cube, so you get the same size if you're on the ends as you do if you're on the wings.
But despite the ongoing stuff, this hasn't like halted what had already been going on this summer.
No. Now I will say this. Now I'll just talk to you as a lifelong St. Louisan, right? I mean, it's time to just get it.
I feel you, man.
It's time
it's
to just get it. You know, you can use this as an example. You can use other stuff. I thought, you know, Gene Duker went on a spectacular Twitter rant last night that I thought was funny. But, you know, forget political side. There's some people I know, if you say your name, they're going to go, this is what she says with Margaret. Look, she put out some figures, just some facts of what, say, the county is pitching in for city buildings or city places, you know, anywhere from the zoo to Busch Stadium or whatever, there's a certain reality to it. And somewhere, somehow, we've got to get people both, and I think we've got them here on KMOX, and they are on some other stations, like when this topic's going around, we've got to get people cutting through the pea soup here.
Yeah.
All right. And it's time whether it's this topic, whether it is the soccer stadium, whether it is crime, whatever it is, we have got to get people to just speak to facts and reality and then doing it the way it is supposed to be done, rather than one wrinkle after another, and it's, you know, because here's the deal. People are tired of it. I spent 8 days in Russia. I spent 8 days in St. Petersburg early in the summer, okay? You've got 164 kids at 12 years of age. You've got adults. The conversations I had every single day for 10 hours a day with parents of kids, you know, from South Africa, with delegation and soccer coaches from the Netherlands, from Ghana, you name it, okay? They're all talking about the same stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? And it's just normal people. And somehow we got to get through this. So again, legally, I don't know what the heck's going on with it. They're going to figure that stuff out. But I can tell you that the fans can expect everything that's going on. I do think that,
There's no reason to, like, if you're a Blues fan, you see the headlines, there's no reason to, like, be worried that this could be an issue.
No, I've got nothing indicating that. I mean,
there will be ice there in a month to play hockey, right?
Oh, yeah. Look, the season's going to go. It's not going to be like, okay, here we are, and what's going on?
It's part of politics, and it's part of the game, and I get that, but especially with Scott Trader. And again, this isn't me as someone who's a part of the broadcast and a part of KMOX. This is me who's someone that has moved to St. Louis now, has been to hockey games there, shows there, is excited about the Bragging Rights game, the SEC tournament, the extension of contract with the Missouri Valley tournament, maybe Olympic sports coming. It's just like,
did you see some of the numbers?
It's a freaking no-brainer.
Okay,
it's a freaking no-brainer. Why would we try to stop this?
Go online and read the press release that the Missouri Valley Conference put out. Okay,
with the extension last week.
Don't just trust what was in the newspaper.
That's
what you're hearing.
Conference.
I'm telling you, read the article, the press conference, the press release. Read the press release and the numbers in there and what they talked about with Scott Trade Center and the importance and what it's done and what it's brought. It tells you the reality of it. You know, you tell me, you're telling me that restaurants and all these other places with these other events. Listen, Chris, this is out there. I'm not speaking out of turn here, right? If they did not start these renovations, and let's say the locker rooms, okay, the locker rooms that the NCAA uses and stuff like that, right? The SEC would have pulled their tournament.
This year, yep.
Okay, they would. Can you imagine that? Now go back to this.
1,354,898 fans have attended the MVC tournament in the 27-year history.
What does that have to do with a hockey team?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. Okay? Nothing. It's the building.
It's unbelievable.
Okay? It's the location. I mean, the point is you've got all these different things coming in. And Chris, when the St. Louis Blues started winning the rights for the wrestling tournament and these other ones, okay, they were competing with two or three cities.
Yep.
Okay. They are now competing with 15 to 20 cities.
And some of them right in our backyard here.
Look at what you said. And I realize we're talking in the sports world right now with this, okay?
Yeah, and Chris Kerber is with us, and we need to take a break right now. We'll hear a little bit more from Kerbs coming up as we talk about all these issues in Scott Trade. But we're going to pause right now for the news and also the address from President Trump. That's What's on Tap, sponsored by the SLU Care Physician Group. A little more with Kerbs and some baseball coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Football in the 9 o'clock hour. Stay with us. Trump next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.